The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
We're doing very well, I can tell you. Maybe it'll happen before that. I'm not sure it needs to be extended. Just so you know, Iran wants to make a deal, and we're dealing very nicely with them. We've got to have no nuclear weapons. If we do, that's a big factor. And they're willing to do things today that they weren't willing to do 2 months ago. And I think if you look, the stock market is good. The oil prices are coming down. And it's looking very good that we're going to make a deal with Iran. And it's going to be a good deal. It's going to be a deal with no nuclear weapon. The blockade has been incredible. It's held. They're not doing any business. They're unable to do any business because of the blockade. And so the combination of having no Navy, having no Air Force, having no anti-aircraft equipment, they have nothing. Everything is gone, including their leaders. Now they have a new set of leaders, and we find them very reasonable. The big thing we have to do is we have to make sure that Iran does not have a nuclear weapon, because if they do, you want to talk about problems, you'd have problems. So very important is that Iran does not have a nuclear weapon, and they've agreed to that. Iran's agreed to that, and they've agreed to it very powerfully. They've agreed to give us back the nuclear dust that's way underground because of the attack we made with the B-2 bombers. So we have a lot of agreement with Iran, and I think something's going to happen very positive. But if I didn't kill the Barack Hussein Obama deal, the nuclear deal, which was a disaster, we would have had nuclear weapons exploding in the Middle East and beyond. I believe I've been able to stop that. I think we have a very successful negotiation going on right now. And I think it'll be, if it happens, it'll be announced fairly soon. And that'll give us free oil, free Hormuz Strait. Everything will be nice. And I think your oil price will go down to lower than what it was before. And I think a lot of good things will happen.
As long as the mullahs agree to it very powerfully, they're very reasonable. The new set of leaders in Iran, that's President Trump today, talking about the world becoming better and better and better. He tweeted out that he's ended 9 wars now. It was 8 for the longest time. And that I think he said this one will be my 10th, referring to Lebanon, the ceasefire that Israel's not too excited about. But lots of talk, as we've witnessed this past year and a half or so, lots of talk about peace and lots of talk about ending wars. Not as much talk about 10 wars. So you've ended 10 wars in, what, 15, 16 months? How is it possible that this world has so many wars? Well, it's because Jesus said it would be just this way. I've been talking a lot about the Olivet Prophecy on recent programs. In fact, we taped a Life in, no, it's the Key of David, I think it was yesterday, on that very subject. We've been going through it in class. We've been talking about it on this program. Why won't more preachers on earth today point you to what Jesus said about the last days that we're living in right now? You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, the last show of the week. That's hard to believe. You can get to the video stream of this program, you or your friends, just let them know. thetrumpet.com or at our Rumble channel or the YouTube channel, and you can watch all the shows after the fact as well. We've got a lot lined up for today's show. We might show you a promo, the latest promo for the Celtic Throne 2 tour, to get a listing of all the cities that the group will be performing in this summer. Just go to celticthrone.com and you can secure tickets. Most of them are in the Southeast. So if you're in Florida or the states around Florida, there's a few others. And I think Edmond, obviously, in Texas, there's going to be a couple shows. So if you want to see the show this summer, make sure that you go to the website to look for tickets today. Today being Friday, we've also got the World Watch segment. And we've got an old a blast from the past, a Key of David program from my father from many, many years ago, one of the early broadcasts, 30-some years ago, that those are always fascinating to see. To see the same message, I mean, God gives us additional insights and more depth as the years go by, but at the same time, you just love the consistency that is there in preaching the truth of God. I mean, the Bible itself, that's the foundation. I mean, it's timeless. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, it says in the scriptures. Prophecy is sure, as Peter wrote, the sure word of prophecy. So if we have time, as I was getting my notes together, I thought I'm actually filling out more of the hour than I thought I would. So we'll see. If we don't have time to get to that Key of David episode, we'll reserve that for a later time. But with this ceasefire, you've got, evidently, there's an opening now at the Strait of Hormuz. Oil's cheaper, which President Trump and his administration is very happy about. So it seems like so many good things happening. The Strait of Hormuz, says President Trump, is completely open and ready for business and full passage, but the naval blockade will remain in full force and effect as it pertains to Iran only. So there's the ceasefire's in place, and the straits are opening up except for Iran. And the new leaders in Iran, as you just heard there, they're very reasonable. And what did he say? They're powerfully, they've agreed. They've agreed to this ceasefire very powerfully. They've agreed to the terms very powerfully. Well, I'll get to NATO later. Lots of things flying at me at the last minute. But if you think about the Olivet prophecy, I've mentioned again this week just how we want to get back into those chapters, that sermon, what Christ was saying just days before he was crucified. Luke 21, Matthew 24, Mark 13. But look at this verse from Matthew 24 and verse 6. It says, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." I mean, this is just the beginning of sorrows, as Jesus said, and you can read beyond it and see how that it all builds toward great tribulation. But in the lead up to it, as you see there from verse 6, it says, you shall hear of wars, plural, lots of wars, and then lots of rumors of wars, which is an interesting phrase. Because when you consider everything, you get President Trump's reaction, then the mullahs are always going to have their reaction. Then you've got, you know, the commentary, you know, people saying this is the significance, this is what it means. Well, is this ceasefire actually the end of a war, or is it just a, you know, is it just a brief cessation of hostilities, or is it a capitulation? And people are trying to make as much sense of it as they can. And it's exactly as Jesus said. Lots of victories, lots of defeats, lots of fake victories, lots of victories in name only. Lots of fake peace, fake peace agreements, fake ceasefires. We've seen it all. We've seen it all. And a lot of it is because Israel, the end time Israelites, they won't go in and demand unconditional surrender, which is the only way that you're going to get any kind of extended period of relative peace. At least in a world where nations are not looking to God, the peacemaker. And so now you've got people on the Trump side of the equation saying, you know, he's making peace. He's out there ending wars. He needs the Nobel Peace Prize. There was a story today suggesting that Pope Leo should win the Nobel Peace Prize. And, of course, you know about the feud between Trump and Leo. And there's quite a few Trump supporters that are upset with President Trump for going after the Pope. People in Europe are really upset. I'll get to this story in a little bit. The Vatican, I mean, that's their institution. That's right there in the heart of Italy. That's right there in Rome. So much tradition. You know, the city of empire. Go after the Pope and you're going to create a lot of enemies. And so we've seen how that's been going on. And then, you know, J.D. Vance and others have tried to downplay it and say, well, it's healthy. And, you know, we've had our divisions. And President Trump, for his part, I think it's in one of my clips where he says, hey, I can disagree with the Pope. What's the big deal? And the Pope, for his part, he doesn't seem to be backing down. But just coming back to wars, rumors of wars, peace, is it peace or is it fake peace? Is it a ceasefire that's going to last, or is it just going to last for a few days, or will it even start? And I've made the point on Daniel 11 and verse 40, where it says that the king of the north comes against the king of the south, radical Islam, like a whirlwind, and absolutely crushes the king of the south. I mean, that's something that is stated or rather acted upon with emphasis. They put an exclamation point on total victory. And then there will be no doubt who is the victor, who is the defeated. As I say, it's very different. What the king of the north does or is prophesied to do, it's very different from the approach that Israelite nations take, where we send in the push button warfare, we bombs away, and then we dial it down because, well, we got to keep our eyes on the oil prices. And, we got to make a big deal. We've got to have a good deal so that everybody's, including the mullahs, we want them to be happy. We want to welcome them back into the family of nations. That's the way the United States is operating. Jesus in the Olivet prophecy said that there's wars, there's rumors of wars, and it's going to get much, much worse. That's why you just have to keep reading from verse 6 on down through verses 21 and 22. For then, said Jesus, then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. There's nothing like this. There's never been anything like this. This is, Matthew 24, 6, it's where we are. We're heading into this period leading to the Great Tribulation. That's what Jesus prepared us for. That's what he prepared the disciples for. So be forewarned when you have a president out there saying, I've stopped 10 wars. Well, really, it's even leaving aside prophecy. Someone should speak up and say, yeah, that's okay. 10 wars in 15 months? What is wrong with this world? Why are there so many wars that need to be stopped? It seems no one's interested in that question. It's just bragging. It's just bragging over what I have done. And he says this even, and again, he's to be credited for at least standing up to the king of the south. And you really can't even say he started that war, because the king of the south is the one that started it 47 years ago. But he nevertheless, 6-7 weeks ago, he did unleash this military action on Iran. There's no doubt about that. And then Israel going into Lebanon. There's just wars all over the place. Why are there so many wars that need to stop? Well, it's because we're in the last days. How could there be this many wars on earth at one time? How could there be this many wars since man established the United Nations with the goal of bringing everyone together? That was in 1945, right? What happened? Why didn't it work? And how can people be so convinced today that it's working now? Yeah, Israel's talking with Lebanese officials. Well, if Hezbollah is not in on those discussions, if Hezbollah is not part of it, if Hezbollah is hardening its position, what does it matter what you're saying to some Lebanese official? And then you've got the Pope, for his part, he's actually pointing to Lebanon as an example of how, he's himself reaching out to radical Muslims in Africa, and then at the same time pointing to Lebanon saying, look at how peaceful, how wonderful Lebanon has been, where Muslims and Christians have coexisted. Well, maybe someone in the news media ought to go into Lebanon and ask some of those Christians. Yeah, how's it been coexisting with radical Islam, with Hezbollah operating as a state within your state? Has it been just this wonderful relationship? That's the Pope of the Catholic Church. How delusional is this? Here you've got Lebanon that's in the midst of a war right now. Yes, Israel's involved, but that just shows you how tangled this web really and truly is. You've got the Jews, you've got the Muslims, you've got the Christians, and you've got chaos, and you've got violence, and you've got another war. That's been man's history. That's been the way of man. And yet here's this same Pope talking about peace, quoting Matthew 5 and verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers. There's another way. America should lay down the arms. America should stop this war that it started. And just let Iran have its way. Just let Iran build a bomb. And guess what? Well, the Pope might just win the peace prize. You can't make this up. Spectator says here, the American Pope is completely unruffled by middle-of-the-night outbursts from the West Wing. Cynics might say that, having surreptitiously poked the bear in the White House, he's enjoying the opportunity to exhibit his Christian serenity. What is beyond doubt, says the Spectator, is that global enthusiasm for the Pope extends far beyond his own gigantic constituency. He may even win the Nobel Peace Prize. Hey, the Pope is popular. It's popular to confront Donald Trump. So he's getting support not just from Catholics. He's getting support from all of Europe. Listen to this tweet, or I guess Truth Social post. President Trump today. Now that the Hormuz Strait situation is over, I received a call from NATO asking if we would need some help. President Trump says, I told them to stay away unless they just want to load up their ships with oil. They were useless when needed, a paper tiger. And Europe, I mean, when Europe heard this, they absolutely fell in love with Donald Trump. No. They despise him. NATO's about to implode, as we covered yesterday on the show. Europe is banding together, as is prophesied. Germany's leading the way on building the new war machine. Britain has its head in the sand. Britain has no military. Britain wants no military. Britain doesn't want an army. Britain doesn't want to put any of their tax dollars to the military. No, that's reserved for the NHS. That's reserved for welfare programs. We need welfare, because we don't want to work. So is peace really breaking out? Is peace really spreading over the earth? Listen to President Trump and read between the lines. I've stopped 10 wars. 10? And how long have you been in office? I mean, is this the kind of thing that we need to congratulate ourselves for? 10 wars? Seriously? The world's about to explode. And Jesus said it's going to get much, much worse. Just so that you're ready. Great tribulation. Fake wars, real wars, ending wars, fake ends to wars. You could go on. That's Matthew 24 and verse 6. And then there's the peace, the nonstop talk about peace. Jeremiah 6 and verse 14, it says here, saying peace, speaking of the ambassadors for peace, they say peace, peace, when there is no peace. It's fake. It's fake peace. They say peace when there is no peace. So how do you figure it out? Which wars have actually ended? How long will they be over? How long will the ceasefires last? How long can you keep the peace? And when you say there's peace, What happens if it's really not peace? What happens if it's violent warfare instead? 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." We could devote an entire program to verses just like these few that I've read. 1 Thessalonians 5:3, Jeremiah 6, verse 14, Matthew 24 and verse 6. We did, you know, again, as I said, with the Key of David, we did record a full program on the Olivet Prophecy. That'll be playing next weekend on the Key of David. You can look out for that. And as I've said, you can look out for more on the subject of the Olivet Prophecy in coming programs for this show, The Trumpet Daily. So Lebanon and Israel, here's another war that ended. And there's quite a few in Israel that are unhappy about this. If you're going to go, why not go all the way and get rid of this menace, this curse, this problem, this terrorist network once and for all? I mean, Bibi Netanyahu got close to it last spring and then was, you know, pressured to dial it back from Donald Trump. The Washington Post says, "A tentative 10-day ceasefire was greeted with celebratory gunfire after the clocks hit midnight in Lebanon." The celebration? Well, gunfire. Firing off the machine guns. As the U.S. brokered deal that promised to halt Israeli strikes in the country went into force. The U.S. brokered it, not Israel. No, no, they stay on the sidelines. And they're told to stop with the bombing campaigns, to stop trying to obliterate Hezbollah. The ceasefire was announced early Thursday by President Trump and confirmed by Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu. In a later video, Netanyahu said that Israel had an opportunity to forge a historic peace agreement with Lebanon, but that Israeli forces would remain inside Lebanon territory in a reinforced security buffer zone. So the forces stay there. The bombing stops temporarily. The forces remain. Now, you know, what's missing from this? There's no mention of Hezbollah. Hezbollah, the terrorist organization. They know. They've learned. Iran has learned. Hamas has learned. You've just got to survive the blast. Keep everything intact. And then when the U.S. brokered ceasefire is in place, we can regroup. We can rebuild. We can restructure everything. We can reorganize. And they do. It's kind of like Gadi Taub said in our interview with him last summer. When you go in every 15, 20 years and, you know, bombs away, it's like mowing the lawn. I mean, you it looks nice for a few days and then it starts to grow back. That's the way the terrorists are. They never disappear. They're never meant to totally surrender, unconditionally surrender, because there's no will, as I said yesterday, there's no will in Israel to impose that upon these terrorist networks. Here's another ceasefire, and I mean, this one's as confusing as so many others before it. Listen to President Trump outside the White House, clip 5.
"With Lebanon, it's very exciting. I think we're going to have a deal. We're going to have a meeting, first time in 44 years. And Lebanon will be meeting with Israel, and they're probably going to do it at the White House.
When do you think, President, when do you think they will?
Over the next week or two.
Over the next week. And do you think this agreement can reach?
I do. I think we will have an agreement between Lebanon, and they're going to take care of Hezbollah. But they're going to be working on Hezbollah right now. But we'll have an agreement between Israel, very importantly, and Lebanon.
Will you support our Lebanese army as well?
I would.
The key, the money quote, "We have an agreement with Lebanon and they're going to take care of Hezbollah." You see, Israel can't, no, because it's disproportionate. It's too much, you know, and they're Jews as well. And we don't like it when the Jews go on the offensive. We don't like the rising lion spirit in Judah. So we've reached an agreement with Lebanon. And remember, you know, Pope Leo told us that the Christians in Lebanon and the radical Islamists that head up Hezbollah, well, they've coexisted peacefully for many, many years. It's so when Pope Leo goes into, what was it, Algeria, I think it is, and he bows, basically bows before this Islamic mosque. There's a lot of Catholics, by the way, upset with him. This is the world we live in. Everyone out there trying to make peace their own way. Talk about peace, talk about ceasefires, talk about wars, talk about rumors of wars, talk about ending wars. I mean, it's so clear that we're in the Olivet prophecy period. That's what we're seeing. It's like I said the other day. I mean, everything intersects with what Jesus talked about on the Mount of Olives. And the disciples, remember, came to him saying, you know, tell us when the sign of your coming is going to be and when will be the end of this world. And that word for world means age, the end of this age, the age of man, the age of man under the influence of the devil and his broadcast. When's that going to end? And Jesus told us, and he told us it's not going to end well for human civilization. In fact, if not for God's intervention, we would completely obliterate the human race. That's not me. That's Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. Read it. Read it again. Read it every morning. The Post says the ceasefire was a gesture of goodwill by Israel. The State Department said, which would retain the right to take all necessary measures in self-defense. The Lebanese government would be expected to take steps to stop Hezbollah and other groups from launching strikes toward Israel. The Lebanese government has to take steps to stop Hezbollah. In other words, they haven't been completely stopped yet. They haven't been obliterated. They haven't unconditionally surrendered. They're not part of this negotiation. They're not part of the ceasefire talks. And they're the problem. You see how Israelite nations deal with this kind of problem? Slap on the wrist, and then, hey, and then it's not even that we withdraw and say, you know what, we're really not into it. We're tired of fighting and so on. No, we withdraw, declare victory, and then brag about it and tell the whole world. And the world is watching, by the way. What do you suppose the Assyrian strongman thinks when he sees this kind of weakness on display? No wonder. I mean, compare it to the whirlwind in Daniel 11:40. The world knows what this means. The sentence I just read to you. Okay, this is a good gesture by Israel. They've reached an agreement with Lebanese officials. Lebanon's going to be responsible for dialing back Hezbollah's attacks. And Israel, they can act, but in self-defense. And hey, it's peace. I've ended another war. It's not really a ceasefire, is it? It's not really a ceasefire at all. The lack of involvement of Hezbollah, this is from the Washington Post. The lack of involvement of Hezbollah in the ceasefire worried some in the region. There's no war between Israel and Lebanon. There's a war between Israel and Hezbollah, said Natan Eshel, Netanyahu's former chief of staff. He's completely right. In what world do we get up before the cameras and say, we have peace? We have peace between Israel and Lebanon. Israel wasn't at war with Lebanon. Israel was taking out Hezbollah. He argued that the group would use a pause in fighting to reorganize and rearm. He's right. Bibi didn't want this. Israel didn't want this. Quite a lot of Israel's population didn't want this. And yet, here again, President Trump, you see him rushing to the cameras, to the microphones, to talk about ending yet another war. Listen to clip 4.
Also, Israel and Lebanon, I think there's a good chance that they'll make a good deal.
Israel and Lebanon have tried to make peace before. What's going to be the difference this time?
Me. I'm the difference. Big difference. Me. Actually, it's very exciting because it's 48 years. We're going to be meeting with Bibi Netanyahu, as you know, and the president of Lebanon. And I had a great talk with both of them today. They're going to be having a ceasefire, and that'll include Hezbollah. And I think it could be number 10 for me.
Could be number 10. And when the reporter says, you know, what's it? They've been trying to reach peace for decades here, Israel and Hezbollah. What makes it different this time around? He said, me. He said, I'm the difference. You know, and I hear that. And as much as we talked about this man returning to prevent the devil from blotting out Israel, an unbelievable fulfillment of Bible prophecy. You hear statements like that and you think, what must God think of that kind of arrogance? I'm the difference. I did this. I made the peace. And here is even the Washington Post notes, Hezbollah is not part of it. All that we can get is that, well, Lebanese, I guess, forces, whatever that means, they're going to be responsible for keeping Hezbollah under control. The BBC says, on the ground here and across the country, there's skepticism about why Israel's leader has signed up to the truce. The title here is that Trump's Lebanon ceasefire takes Israel by surprise. This is at the BBC. I feel like the government lied to us, quoting some guy. They promised that this time it would be different. We gave the Lebanese government a chance and they failed to uphold the agreement. They didn't disarm Hezbollah, says another commentator. If we don't do it, no one will. That's Israel saying, if we don't disarm Hezbollah, no one's going to do it. Lebanon's not going to do it. America's not going to do it. Pope Leo's not going to do it. So let them arm for war. Let them murder Jews and Americans. That's the message that's coming through loud and clear. And Hezbollah gets the message. So does Iran, Hamas, all of them. Just hunker down, survive the blast, and carry on. Carry on with the mission. I mean, this also shows just how divided Israel is as well. You don't see, you know, I mean, quite unlike the aggressor nations today, you don't see America and Judah in lockstep over this. You see Judah shut out of the negotiations. You see Judah, you know, with its hand being tied behind its back by Manasseh, by America. The bombing stops. And now it's Lebanon's problem. They're the ones that have to deal with Hezbollah. You think they're going to crush Hezbollah? BBC says this ceasefire announcement has taken Israel by surprise, reportedly even within the government's own security cabinet. A widely respected Israeli news outlet tonight described Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu convening a security cabinet meeting in just 5 minutes notice shortly before the ceasefire announcement was made. Leaks from the meeting say ministers were not given a vote on the ceasefire to many. To many, this is another example of Netanyahu bowing to U.S. President Donald Trump. His demands to halt fighting, even when the terms of the timing are not what Israel wants. So yet another war where, you know, Israel or our forces are pressured to stop fighting. And then there's the ceasefire paper. And then there's the crowing, all of the self-congratulatory comments. Look at what we've done. Look at what we've accomplished. Look at what we finished. This again is President Trump from outside the White House, clip six.
The Lebanese people love you so much. What's your message for them? And do you will visit Lebanon after this deal?
I will do that. At the right time, I would certainly go there. I met with, through the telephone, with the president of Lebanon, who's a really good guy, highly respected, and with Bibi. And I think there's a chance we'll be meeting right here in the not too distant.
Okay, the Lebanese leader and Bibi meeting in D.C. What's the significance of this? Tell me, how is this important? Here again, Hezbollah is the elephant in the room, isn't it? My father wrote, this is from a year ago, March 2025 at The Trumpet. You can get to these articles at the website, thetrumpet.com. If you're not a subscriber, make sure that you call our operators today and request a free one-year subscription. President Trump betrayed Israel. Israel had already virtually destroyed Hezbollah in Lebanon and had dealt deadly blows to Hamas in Gaza. But then word of the Israel-Hamas deal reached the Gazan streets, and thousands of gun-toting Arabs emerged from their underground tunnels, celebrating and shouting that they had won the war. Does this sound familiar, any of this? I just read to you what happened when Hezbollah heard that the ceasefire was in place in Lebanon. Yeah, here come the gun-toting Islamists firing away. I mean, this was a year ago, only in Gaza. What is wrong with our leadership? What is wrong with our nations? What is wrong with our will to go in and to complete the job? Just think about how quickly so many of these problems could be extinguished if Israel and American firepower really and truly was right in lockstep with one another. Little Lebanon. As for Trump, Melanie Phillips wrote, the fear is that his transactionalism will mean he ends up playing the same role as the Biden administration in empowering evil. We can only hold our breath. My father goes on to say, we have to judge by fruits. Mr. Trump had strong words, but what are his deeds in the greatest possible crisis in the Middle East? Trump will say he won the peace, but the price of this peace is indeed high. The halting of Israel's just war on modern-day pogromists will loathe America. I think this is quoting Melanie Phillips again. Pogromists who loathe America as much as they do Israel. Oh, it's Brandon O'Neill, sorry. This deal provides only an illusion of peace, my father says, but it undermines real peace. See, war, rumors of war, peace, rumors of peace, fake peace. Is it real peace? Is it lasting peace? Is it fake peace? What does the Bible say? The Bible says when they say peace, then comes sudden destruction. Quoting Melanie Phillips, it says, Trump doesn't want a war on his watch. He has virtually promised the American people that he will bring an end to war. But sometimes an enemy arises with whom an agreement is a deal with the devil. You remember this. I mean, a year ago, we were quoting this over and again, Melanie Phillips, saying, how is this going to bring peace? When you sit down and you make a deal with the devil, dealing with the devil, my father says, what Mr. Trump has done here is going to plague him for the rest of his tenure in office. Just watch and see if it doesn't happen that way, unless he dramatically changes course. And a year ago, I mean, we were hearing so many of the same statements. This is great. I'm the difference. I brought both sides together. We've made peace. This is the first of, well, we now know, many wars that the Jeroboam administration would end in just a matter of 15 months. Wars and rumors of wars. This is from Sky News on the Strait, Hormuz. That has been a big angle to this story as well over the last month and a half. Iran's announcement that the Strait of Hormuz is open is just another smart move in a war of narratives, according to our analysts. And then it quotes one of them. Once more, the Iranian government is controlling the narrative, and they're claiming a win. that we took the high ground and that we're allowing others to pass through now. Yeah, in an act of benevolence and love and outflowing concern, we're going to open up the strait. It says to her, this is part of the war of narratives that has been going on between Donald Trump and the Iranian regime. Trump notably pushed back immediately, declaring that the U.S. blockade would remain in place. I read that quote to you earlier. It's now completely open as a result of the ceasefire. Everything's open. Now we're going to leave our blockade there to keep the Iranian vessels in check. This is from my father. This goes back to a 1993 episode of the Key of David. Again, what are we to make of this? Is the strait fully open? Is it partially open? Is it partially closed? And what will be the outcome of this? What's the future? Is it real? Is it fake? Is it phony? This goes back more than 30 years, I believe. Clip one.
The events in the Middle East are going to lead into seriously escalating problems. They are going to be the trigger for World War III. The Bible says so. The King of the North is almost in place for this global tragedy. The King of the South is virtually there as well, and they have the oil. They're just not fully aware, that is, the King of the South, is just not fully aware yet of how much power that oil gives them over Europe, which has virtually no oil. Now, if you don't have oil, then, of course, you can't run your industry and your military machine, and I think most anybody understands that. Germany knows that a lack of oil is their main weakness. They know they must have oil, and so they are waiting for an opportunity to get more control in the Middle East. They have planned this for years. Germany knows they'll be paralyzed without oil. The need for oil was the trigger that caused Japan to attack Pearl Harbor and start World War II in the Pacific. That same trigger, oil, is probably going to be the main reason for the clash between the King of the North and the King of the South in the end time. That's what Daniel 11 is talking about.
30-some years ago, and as I said at the start, I mean, there's a consistency in the message. There's details that change here and there, but you see a lot of the same storylines, and of course, the Bible thread, the prophetic thread, that remains the same. And here we are with world events just accelerating like never before. As I keep saying about President Trump, I mean, he's accelerating Bible prophecy. And this current pope, even if he's not the one that enters into this unholy alliance with the Daniel 8 strongman, he's still being used. He's accelerating prophecy too. As I said earlier, I mean, you've got not just Catholics, European leaders, even much of world opinion. It's backing Pope Leo because he's finally taking on Orange Hitler. What happens when Europe rallies behind the Vatican? And what's the significance of this? I mean, this is, whether they're too secular in Europe or whatever, I mean, it is their identity. It is their own. As I said earlier, I mean, the Vatican's in Italy. It's their religious institution. And we go on and on about the so-called religious revival in the United States when really we should be looking more at a Catholic revival in the heart of Europe. Because that's coming. That's their identity. They want this. President Trump commented when he was outside the White House today on this feud or his disagreements with Pope Leo. This is a clip 7.
I'm not fighting with him. The Pope made a statement. He says Iran can have a nuclear weapon. I say Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. And if the Pope looked at the 42,000 people that were killed over the last 2 or 3 months as a protester with no weapons, no nothing, I mean, you take a look at that. So I can disagree with the Pope. I have a right to disagree. I have a right to disagree with the Pope.
He has a right to disagree, and he's right about that, of course. But what is this doing to accelerate the formation of that seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire? What is this doing to empower and to embolden the Roman Catholic Church? My father had an article, again, this goes back to last year. Where will these new leaders take the world? He says here, many prophecies forewarn that the European strongman and the head of that church, speaking of the Vatican, will work together to unleash unparalleled suffering on the world. This will affect world trade, Middle Eastern powers, Asian powers, America, Britain, and you. And he says this, based on those prophecies, I don't believe Chancellor Merz and Pope Leo will form this tandem of leaders. However, as you will read in the trumpet, this trumpet, both could pave the way for the emergence of these two end-time leaders. This is from July 2025, last summer. Where will these new leaders take the world? The ones we see at present, they're paving the way for the ones who are prophesied to appear in these last days. In several ways, Pope Leo does not fit the picture in these prophecies. I do not expect him to remain pope for long. That's quite a statement. And again, we'll see how it plays out. Still, it says, he may set the stage for a more ambitious and aggressive pope. The direction of Germany, the European strongman, the increasing power of the Vatican, the world economic realignment, these are exhilarating prophecies leading to the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's another way of saying that everything intersects with the Olivet prophecy. And in the Olivet prophecy, Jesus multiple times referred to and described his spectacular return to this earth. That's why the disciples asked him for those signs. They wanted to be in the know. They wanted to know what would happen immediately before Jesus Christ returned. Christ said in John 14, if I go, I'm coming again. I'm coming back. Do you believe it? Do you believe Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth? Do you believe that the nations of this earth are going to become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the living Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords? This booklet I referred to on the show we recorded yesterday, Nuclear Armageddon, is at the door. It takes you step by step through the Olivet prophecy, particularly Matthew's version, Matthew 24. And I've given you some quotes from this earlier this week, but I'd encourage you to request this little booklet. If you want to call for your free copy, the number's right there on the screen. If you want to get to it now, it's not that long of a study, but you can locate it under the literature tab at our website, thetrumpet.com. Exhilarating prophecies. The Bible does not reveal the names of these individuals, but we can determine that by the fruits. We can determine that by the fruits of their works. Some may already be working in the open. Others are working in the background. One thing is sure, these prophecies are about to be fulfilled. There's another piece here about Pope Leo's unholy accommodation, reaching out to Islam, even as he lashes out against President Trump. Here he is trying to reach out to the forces of radical Islam, pointing to Lebanon as a picture of utopian unity between Christians and Islamists. These are dangerous times that we're living in. We're rushing. We're speeding toward great tribulation, as Christ prophesied. Well, there was one other clip, I guess, I had from President Trump. Well, we can go ahead and play it. I think we have time. We've got World Watch here in a second as well. Play clip 8.
There was a group of bishops that did put out a statement saying the Pope isn't merely exercising his opinion. He's preaching the gospel. And what do you say to people that do this?
Well, I want him to preach the gospel. I'm all about the gospel. But I also know that you cannot let a certain country, which is a very mean-spirited country, have a nuclear weapon. If they did, they would use it, and I think they'd use it quickly, and they would kill many millions of people. So you know, the Pope could disagree with me on that, but certainly we're allowed to have that. I'm all about the gospel. I'm about it as much as anybody can be. But I can't allow, as President of the United States of America, I can't allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon. And here's the story. They won't have. They've already agreed not to have. That's good news. And I think the Pope will be very happy.
He's all about the gospel. The gospel, remember, the gospel, the good news that Jesus proclaimed is the news of the coming kingdom of God on earth, the establishment of God's kingdom on this earth, the kingdom that will finally bring lasting, everlasting peace to this earth. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. We want to leave just a few minutes left for World Watch. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you next time.
The Bank of France has removed the last of its gold bullion from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, according to a press release issued in late March. The Bank of France now stores its entire gold holdings domestically near Paris rather than partially in New York. Instead of shipping the heavy gold bars across the Atlantic Ocean, the bank sold about 129 metric tons in the United States between July 2025 and January 2026, when gold prices were at an all-time high. The bank used the revenue to buy the same amount of newer bars in Europe, resulting in a one-time profit of about $15 billion. The Bank of France says this was a pre-planned business decision recommended by an internal audit in 2024. However, the timing may indicate France is worried about world events, such as trouble in the Strait of Hormuz that could affect the U.S. dollar's role in the oil trade. To learn more about the significance of international powers losing their trust in the U.S. dollar, read our Trends article, Why the Trumpet Watches America's Economic Collapse. After 16 years in power, Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orbán has conceded defeat after a devastating election loss April 12th. Péter Magyar and his party won 138 out of 199 parliamentary seats, the two-thirds majority needed to alter Hungary's constitution. Many Hungarians and outside observers hope Magyar will use his power to undo constitutional reforms that allowed Orbán to consolidate power. However, Magyar is a former insider from Orbán's Fidesz party and shares much of the same platform. Most of Orbán's challengers have come from the left, yet Magyar supports many of Orbán's conservative policies, like closing Hungary to Muslim refugees, as well as Orbán's Christian worldview. Magyar supports closer EU integration, while Orbán was extremely antagonistic toward European integration and vehemently opposed an EU superstate. The Bible speaks of a modern-day incarnation of the Roman Empire to rise from 10 European kings, or dictators, pooling their resources. Magyar claims he wants to work with Europe. Will he be one of these prophesied kings? To learn more, read Who or What is the Prophetic Beast? France is continuing its efforts to maintain its position as the most powerful military force in Europe. On April 8th, the French government presented a proposal to the legislature to boost defense spending to $74 billion next year and $89 billion by 2030. France's chief of defense staff, General Fabien Mandon, justified the increase by calling the possibility of an open war with Russia in the next few years a primary concern. He added, "We can no longer have the same level of confidence in the Americans' commitment to our security." The government proposes $4.6 billion for space surveillance and communication, which it considers a fully fledged area of conflict. The proposal's largest area of increased spending is an additional $9.8 billion to boost supplies of missiles and drones before 2030, on top of the $18 billion previously set aside. The Bible prophesies that a German-led European superpower will rise up in this end time to subjugate the modern nations of Israel, which includes the United States. The French military is preparing to contribute to that prophecy's fulfillment. To learn more, read The Holy Roman Empire in Prophecy. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.